This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
This is DCR.
What loss, Dave? Give me one Giants loss that would force you into the wild.
That Eagles loss, the punt return, that still bothers me that game.
DeSean Jackson, unbelievable! Eagles win!
He's done it again.
Yeah, I saw it, Dave. We saw eye to eye, and apparently I was wrong.
His new profile pic now, he's gone to the depths. He now has DeSean Jackson's punt return with his face on DeSean Jackson and my face chasing him in a Giants jersey.
It's disgusting, Dave.
Well, what happened? He doesn't make that tackle?
This is DCR.
Just when we were about to tag team on Rick Dave.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Oh, it is like a Rocky montage here on DCR 98.7 ESPN. DCR on 98.7 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance, and guests on the show appear via the Goodyear Hotline. So I said this, and I stand by it, but I think you guys are fair and honest. Hinky Haynes, who's a big fan of the show, and I know he likes me personally as well, but he disagrees with something I said tremendously. I said, now DeGrom is, quote, the greatest player in all of sports. And he says, wow. Talk about getting carried away. He plays once a week and is clearly the greatest pitcher, but it's not even close to being the best player in all of sports. Not even close. Does anybody in any sport dominate the way that DeGrom does right now?
That would be a no, Dave. No.
I'm trying to think. At the moment?
Don't think too hard.
Well, listen, I mean, Connor McDavid is, I mean, he's special. Like, he's, I mean, he had an unbelievable season, too.
But
I would put him.
Is he doing things you've never seen before, though? Like statistically and dominating like you've never seen.
No, he's pretty dominant.
But Gretzky has put up these numbers in the past.
Well, no, yeah, I mean you're right. I mean Gretzky has records that will never be broken. I mean, he's the great one for a reason. You're correct. I'm not saying I would put him right now at his level, but if you asked the question, so let's throw around some names that could potentially be ones to consider. I think in the past you probably would have said Mahomes.
Mm-hmm.
But after the season that Rodgers had, I mean, they're right there.
But we've seen it before.
No, I mean,
I take nothing away from those guys.
I think
they're phenomenal.
In the first 3 years of a career, I mean, we've seen that before, the way that he... Well,
maybe not, but have we ever seen... My point is, we've never seen anything like what DeGrom is now, ever.
Well, because he's having a historic season.
That's fair. Yeah, that's a fair point.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, the question is anyone at the moment as good at what they do in sports as Jacob DeGrom?
No.
And if you want to say he's more valuable or not, listen, I think Aaron Rodgers might be more valuable to his team. I feel the same way about Mahomes. But at a dominant level, I don't think those guys are doing in their sport, or McDavid or anybody, what DeGrom is doing in baseball right now and for the Mets.
No, I would say probably maybe the closest, Dave, is Djokovic right now.
Yeah.
I mean, he's right there. I mean, he's special, dude. He beats Nadal in the French, which never. I mean, Nadal doesn't lose in the French.
Do you know what Nadal's record is in the French? He's
lost what, three times?
Yeah. He's 105-3 in the French. 105-3.
Yeah, that's stupid. That's not human. Maybe that. I mean, golf. There's nobody at the moment.
No.
I mean, I guess tennis would be Djokovic. I mean, women's tennis, I mean, it's not Serena anymore.
No.
Osaka was great, but she's obviously not playing here the last couple tournaments.
I think the answer is no, Rick. I think the answer we're looking for is no.
Vasilevsky after a loss is pretty damn good, unfortunately. No, I think, I mean, all joking aside, I don't. I mean, Ohtani, I mean, I think a lot of people would throw Ohtani just because he's doing both, but he's
awesome.
He's not the kind of pitcher that DeGrom is.
No, he's not even close. Listen, he can win MVP in the American League. My point is, I've never seen anything like this. And with every other guy we've mentioned, as great as they are, I've seen it before.
Well, what makes it even crazier, and this is, I mean, we watch every pitch of his starts. I mean, every Mets fan does. It's must. Like, there's nothing outside of what's going on with the Islanders in the playoffs. And, you know, once we get to football season, because there's only 17 of those things, like, for me, when DeGrom pitches, it's like, I need to be, you know, on my couch, and I got to be locked in because you're going to see something special.
And baseball is the exact opposite of that now. Baseball is like, oh, there's so many games. It's bland. It can be boring. It's every single day.
Except when he's on the mound.
Except when he's on the mound. He is transcending the sport of baseball at the moment, and he did it again yesterday.
But here's the problem, Dave. I can't even enjoy watching it anymore because I'm afraid that the next pitch could be the one where things just blow up on Jacob DeGrom with the injury concerns.
Yeah, I'm terrified as well. Every time they visit him on the mound, Chris, I'm scared.
I mean, you saw it yesterday when he walks the pitcher. I mean, it was three straight sliders. He missed high on all of them. Then he goes with the fastball, and I think it gets fouled off. And then he goes with another slider that misses high, and you're just thinking, is it about to happen? Or is he about to leave? Like, they have this visit at the mound. Like, is he going to check himself out of the game? Like, Dave, it just never looked like he was comfortable, even though he was absolutely dominant with the five innings that he pitched. He just never looked comfortable on a mound. He was constantly shaking his arm, his shoulder. It just didn't seem like he was right. And then for him to only have five innings after being so dominant, you just know that there's something else going on with that shoulder. And the fact that they can't pinpoint it, yet they continue to let him take his turn in the rotation, I just feel like this is a ticking time bomb. Like, this is eventually going to go off, and it's going to potentially cost the Mets their season.
Oh, it's going to be awful. Let's go. If that happens, it will be...
I don't want it to happen. I'm not wishing for that
you
to
just
happen.
Say, well, I go into the wild.
Yeah, I'll go with you. I'm coming.
No, I'm just saying I don't want it to happen, but doesn't it feel that way?
It does. I'll be heartbroken.
What do you think, Dave? What do you think would have happened, though, if... we were tweeting. You guys were texting about it yesterday. Dom Smith and Al Moore, like, come on. I mean, at some point, like, Al Moore's got to take control of that situation. If he had a no-hitter, like, if he hadn't given up that hit, you think he stays in for longer than the five?
I think he pushes himself. Although, I will say the fact that it doesn't count as a no-hitter, maybe he would have said, you know what, there's no reason to push this because it doesn't go down in the record books or anything.
No, you know, I just asked the question. They got to make that play on that ball, don't they?
Oh, of course. Ridiculous. Let's go to Dino in the Bronx. Good morning, Dino. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
What's up, guys? So, you taking DeGrom or you taking Tom Brady? That's my question.
Well, what does that mean? Who's more dominant, or who's been the greater career?
More dominant.
Oh, come on. You're telling me that Brady is dominating like DeGrom?
No.
Look what he just did. He took the Bucs to the Super Bowl. I'm just saying. Like, I know what DeGrom is. He's my favorite player. But I'm just saying, like, do you take what Tom Brady is and has done?
But we're talking about right now. And Tom Brady didn't have the best season of any quarterback in the National Football League. That belonged to Aaron Rodgers.
No.
Yeah, that belonged to Aaron Rodgers.
No.
So, I mean, when you start talking about how dominant a guy is and looking at what Jacob DeGrom is doing versus the rest of the elite pitchers in baseball, it ain't even close. It's not even close. It's not up for debate. There's no argument to be made.
Dino, I think you need to pose the question differently, though, Dino. Dino, pose the question differently and see if they have a different answer. Are you more impressed with what DeGrom is doing now or what Tom Brady is doing at his age?
No, that's different.
That's a much closer answer. Yeah.
There we go.
If I say to you guys, next to call Dino, is Tom Brady the best quarterback in football? I think the answer is unequivocally no, he's not.
Agreed.
He's not. But I think what it comes down to is the guy's 44 years old. And he just won his seventh Super Bowl.
He's got multiple championships in his 40s.
What he's done is unbelievable. I take nothing away from Tom Brady. I'm just saying he's not as dominant in his sport as DeGrom is right now. He came out this week, I guess, and said like 50 does seem like it could be pushing it. He's not sure he's going to play it all the way.
No, he made it sound like it's just going to be 45 and he's going to be done.
So you think,
which should be
two,
scary, huh? For the rest of the NFL, right? That should be scary.
Yeah, he said. I spent the entire time saying 45. I'll be 44 this year. I'm 44 next. I'm 45 next year, and then
that'll be it.
Well, right, yeah. Then we can kind of revisit it.
If he knows this is going to be the end, Rico, you got to know he's going to let it all hang out, like all of it.
Yeah, it has to.
Oh,
and I would still like to see that just to know if he has everything.
What? Really?
Well, Ninkovich didn't answer my question. I think it's a fair question. Can one person have every single thing?
It feels like he does, doesn't it?
No, he posted, I'm not answering that question. Pass.
He posted a photo of his family the other day. It's like they're all beautiful.
He's getting better looking the older he gets.
Yeah,
did you see the picture of him and George Blanda?
Yeah, George Blanda looked like he was 84.
He looked like he was in his 80s. Brady looks like he's like Benjamin Button. He's in reverse. His hair's getting thicker.
You think he's at work?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. His hair, for sure. Because they show those pictures, like the progression. Remember, like they show, like sometimes on ESPN, they'll post the pictures of like where it's like the progression as he gets older. And it's like you can see it like okay, hairline's good, good, good. Uh-oh. Receding. Uh-oh. Nope. There it's back. It's back. Oh, better. It doesn't work like that.
No.
A guy, I mean, it's his skin is perfect.
He's perfect.
Always tan. I mean, it's...
Rico, you know what I want to know? Who was the team that Tom Brady was talking about that was interested in him when he was a free agent, but they decided they were going to back off at the very, very end?
The Niners.
That's who it was?
No, that could be one of them. I mean, I know he wanted to play the Niners.
But he was like, you're going to stick with that freaking guy?
Let's go. Well, but okay, so let's think about it. East Coast, it probably would, if it was a team he was still interested in,
yep.
It would probably have to be an East Coast team, right? Because he said because of his son, he wanted to stay on the East Coast.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's why he, because they would have, I mean, come on. If Brady said he wanted to go to the Niners would have gassed Jimmy G for,
I'm sure they would have,
for Brady. So it would probably be an East Coast team. That had good, like, they'd have to have good weapons. They'd have to been, you know, built to compete right away.
Mm-hmm.
I have to start doing some investigating.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I want to know the answer to that question.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, I mentioned this quickly. I don't think you guys are going to have a problem with it. I kind of do. And I know you're going to have go the other way, and you'll probably sway me. I don't love James Harden playing in the Olympics. I don't. I mean, he couldn't finish the regular season. He's clearly not healthy, and now I got to watch him, you know, play exhibition basketball. If I was a Nets fan, I would not appreciate that.
Well, yeah, Dave, you just want him to be healthy going into next season, right? I mean, you saw what Donovan Mitchell decided to do. He turned down the opportunity to play in the Olympics because he wanted to make sure that he gave the ankle plenty of time to heal. Like, I just, with the hamstring injury, because it was something that plagued him all year long, because he missed a month of the season, and because it compromised him in the postseason, you would just like him to rest up and get that thing right. So when you go into next year, like, your team is healthy and ready to go. You know, you just don't want that to be something that looms, you know, into, or that lingers into next year. Like, that would be my biggest concern. Now, I get it, like, the opportunity to represent your country in the Olympics, and James Harden and Kevin Durant, both are guys that love to hoop, but I just feel like because of the injuries that he's had to deal with and because of how he handled last offseason, I just feel like this would be the year where he just takes the time to get right.
Yeah, I don't think you guys are wrong, but I mean, yeah, this guy loves to play basketball, and you know, having experienced the Olympics, there's nothing better.
I understand why he would want to, but if I'm a Nets fan, as great as that is, I want you to rest up, heal up, and be ready to go every game next season.
Well, I mean, here's the thing, though. And maybe this is just me trusting that James Harden realizes what's more important to him moving forward. Like, they're going to go, they'll most likely win the gold medal, but he's not going to be judged on how many gold medals he won for Team USA at the end of his career. He's going to be judged on how many championships he's won. Like, that's the missing piece for him, is the NBA championship. So I would hope that that's going to be his priority, is that make sure, yeah, this is going to be great. You know, let's go. I'm not going to have to overly exert myself here in the Olympics. We'll win the gold medal, and I'll make sure I'm ready to go for the regular season and then into the...
I'll tell you what, he better be. If he's not ready to go in the regular season, or gets hurt early on, or the hamstring comes back and is an issue throughout next year, and I think rightfully so, he's going to get destroyed.
Oh, yeah, they're going to kill him for that, Dave. Like, there would be no excuse. Like, fans aren't going to be trying to hear it if something happens, if there's an injury concern, especially if it's a lower body injury for James Harden, because people are going to go back to him deciding to play in the Olympics fresh off the hamstring issue that he had in the postseason. So you're absolutely right. There isn't going to be the benefit of the doubt when it comes to something like that for James Harden. But I want to throw this question out there to you guys. Like, do you think that the Nets going into next year handled the regular season differently because of the potential for injury concerns? Like, I know James Harden and Kevin Durant aren't big load management guys, but I mean, based on what they experienced in year one, all three of those guys being together, do they handle the regular season differently?
I mean, they barely played together this season. So
They
played eight games, yeah. That's a concern, obviously, because, I mean, if that team is healthy, it doesn't matter if they're the eighth seed.
Exactly.
So that, you'd still like their chances to win a championship. I was really surprised with how well the bench had played for the entire season for the Nets. That going into, especially with Harden on one leg and, you know, KD playing every minute of all these games, that was that they didn't, at least for a couple minutes of the game, like he just, the bench was just, became
it was non-existent.
But they don't trust the bench, Rico. Steve Nash doesn't trust him.
I don't know how you couldn't have, though. They played so much. They carried you. The bench carried you this season.
Yeah, Rico, but I think we saw, even with the Knicks in the postseason, like it's different when you're competing in the regular season versus the postseason. Like it's just different. Like those guys that aren't as talented that can be contributors, mm-hmm. guys that can produce, once teams start ratcheting up the intensity in the postseason, they're non-factors.
Yep. They can be on the outside looking in. Magic Johnson, who thankfully is still with us, was on KJZ yesterday and was asked the question, what do the Nets need to add this offseason?
The problem with Brooklyn is this. They're going to need some really good role players. The ones they have now is not going to help them win a championship. So they got to get guys who can really fill a role and bring something to the table. That's the one thing I think Brooklyn has to trade for or sign this offseason. Some role players that can, a tough guy down low.
I don't know who that guy is, and unless somebody is, like you mentioned earlier, Chris, you know, chasing a championship, I mean, how are they going to bring this guy in?
I don't know, Dave. I don't know. I will say this. They really could have used Jared Allen in that series against the Milwaukee Bucks. They really could have used him. Now, I know that he was a part of the package to bring over James Harden, but, I mean, that dude, he's a rim protector. He was able to run the floor. Like, not having that kind of presence out there, that really put a lot more pressure on Kevin Durant. It really did. And you look at it down the stretch in Game 7, him having to defend Giannis, especially down low, it's just one of those things where maybe that could have been what took some of the gas out of him once we got into overtime and why he wasn't able to be able to close out that game on that last possession or at least try to tie it.
Yeah, no, he had nothing left.
He had nothing left. Like they've got to find some more guys that they trust in a big spot to be a part of this supporting cast. But I don't know how they find those guys. Like, it's not like you're going to have cap space. It's not like you got draft picks to be able to pull something off. You got to wait for a veteran player.
It's going to be the Andre Drummonds of the world, right?
Yeah, you got to wait for a veteran player to bestow their good graces on you because they want to come run with the big three. That's what you're waiting on.
Yep. Let's go to OT in Hempstead. Good morning, OT. Hello?
Hello?
Hello? You're on.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes.
Okay, OT.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, OT, you're on the radio. And this will be the perfect time for you to go ahead with your point about
the call. I'm ready.
Have at it. All right, let's go.
I was having a side conversation about the same thing because that whole Jacob DeGrom being the best athlete in all of sports right now, it's just kind of a not apples to apples, oranges to oranges kind of a conversation. In football, you rely a lot on your teammates. The individualized action between pitcher to hitter allows him to be a lot more dominant. So I understand that he is probably the most important player for his team, but I don't know if I could say the most dominant.
See, I wouldn't even say he's the most important. I would more say the opposite. I would say he's the most dominant, more than the most important.
Yeah, I mean, you start talking about most important.
Patrick Mahomes is the most important. Aaron Rodgers is the most important.
Yeah, or you would even go, I mean, one of the NBA players, too, because they play on both sides of the ball. You know what I mean? They play offense and defense. It's just, that wasn't the question. It's who does his job better than anybody else right now in sports?
And the answer is
one specific.
It's not even
job.
Up for debate. It's really not. DeGrom is better at what he does than anybody multiple times over.
Yeah, I can't even off the top of my head think of anyone else.
We came up with, I mean, Djokovic is there,
yep.
I don't even know who else there is, to be honest with you.
Well, I don't think there's anyone. I mean, Ohtani, for what he's doing on both, I mean, that's pretty incredible.
Yes. Well, we've never seen anybody do that.
Lewis Hamilton?
Who'd you say?
He's dominant.
Lewis Hamilton, yeah.
He's
yeah.
dominant.
Racer.
What is that? Racing?
Racer, yep.
What do you mean? You know who Lewis Hamilton is?
Nah, not 100% sure.
Come on.
What?
Drives from Mercedes? They dominate.
Dominate.
Well, don't judge me if I don't know who Lewis Hamilton is.
He's supposed to be this savant.
I knew who he was, but I had to confirm that in fact was who he is.
You're not a big F1 guy, huh?
I'm not a big F1 guy. I'm the talent.
Milo loves F1.
I mean, Nico, if we were doing, you know, Rothenberg on Talk, Nico would have prepared me. Here's who Lewis Hamilton is.
I have TJ. I have Nico.
Rundown.
That's another shot right at RJ.
There is
right,
some...
right at RJ. Just slap
More.
You right
Use
in the
it.
Face.
That's right.
There's a big Netflix series going on right now about F1. People are wrapped up in it. You should catch up, Dave.
Are they?
Yeah.
Really work with that spider tech. Really become familiar.
You can That's get familiar so as you watch.
That is so How many episodes of this F1 series are there?
I think there's a couple series or a couple seasons.
Oh, really?
I think so.
And have you watched it all?
I've watched a couple, but people love it. The people. You're a man of the people.
The people.
Get and welcome people. Aboard.
Yeah.
What's this thing called?
There is so much money in that sport. Like, the amount of money that they put into these teams, it's insane, dude.
There is something cool about open wheels racing, though, Rico, isn't it? Like, it is a lot different than NASCAR.
Is this Monaco? Is this where they do that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
Like, yeah, the 24 hours just, of Le Mans?
Check it out one time. Just check it out.
I
take
no
a peek.
Interest.
Take a peek. You'll like it. No, I don't think it'll hold your attention.
Does it hold yours?
I can watch.
You'll watch anything,
Milo.
Though. You have a real sickness. You'll watch anything.
Yeah, I mean, I've watched. You name it. I've watched drone racing. I mean, it's.
I don't understand that. I don't understand that drone racing. I can't. You take it too far.
He watches
with me on that
pickleball.
One,
he watches cornhole. He'll watch anything.
Oh, I was watching an unbelievable cornhole situation the other day. This guy was just nasty. Older gentleman, just making it rain.
Older gentleman. Are you an ageist? Is that what you're saying?
No, he was... No,
an ageist.
No,
older gentleman. He was an older gentleman. There's nothing negative about that, Dave.
He was making it rain. Like, it was great. These dudes...
Jackie
like,
Moon style.
Yeah, is there a prime for cornhole?
No. It's the beauty of the sport.
You can play all the way through. So it's good if you kind of take it up as a young kid. That way you can play it through your entire life, like golf or tennis.
Yeah. I mean, this is something that just, you can, it's evergreen. I mean, those aren't, I mean, the.
It's not as profitable as those
exactly.
sports.
I mean, watching you play it, I don't know. I mean, it doesn't feel like there's much longevity in it, but most people.
Oh, I could throw a bean.
If you can find it.
I could throw a bean, baby. All right, 800-919-3776.
Oh,
quick break. We come back. You see what I do? I mean, the comedy that I provide for this show. When I'm not here next week, you're going to terribly miss me.
You're so lazy. Look at you taking a week off.
I'm lazy. You know what RJ just says to me? He says, you're the only one of all of us that hasn't taken a day yet on the show since we launched it.
Oh, yeah, because...
I took a day off to actually do more work. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry. You ripped my... I have a giant gaping hole in both sides of my stomach. Sorry, I apologize for having to go see somebody about that.
Oh, and my internet doesn't work, so I can't do the show. Going to see doctors. RJ has bachelor parties. Santiago has surgeries. I mean, stop it. Every day I'm here. Every single day.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
Man, you went rogue to give away the cash in the 6 o'clock hour, so I mean, I don't know.
Well, I'm not going to give Rick the option of when we give it
yeah,
away.
Yeah, but you could give me the option, but I don't know. I don't like the fact that you're not consulting us. You're just doing your own thing.
What do you think I was doing?
I don't know.
I was just consulting you.
I don't know.
I said, Chris.
I didn't like how you handled Ricky earlier, so
I just wanted
to be preemptive in terms of how I felt about it.
He's dead to me. But I was going to ask you right now. I mean, geez.
Just when we were about to tag team on Rick, Dave, yeah, just when I thought we were seeing eye to eye, Dave. Nope.
Well, do you want the opportunity for you to decide when we give away the money and or the Islanders tickets?
Well, Dave, if it was up to me, I wouldn't make our listeners wait. I'd give it to them right now.
Well, that's why I was turning to you. Would you like to do it right now?
Yeah, let's do
Take
it right
it.
Now. Let's do it
Take
right
it.
Now, Dave. Yeah,
All
let's
right.
do it. Yeah.
98.7 ESPN's $1,000 a day giveaway. Be the first caller right now at 888-987-ESPN to score $250 cash. Again, that's 888-987-3776 today and tomorrow. Last days to cash in. So you got to be listening in the 6 a.m., 7 a.m. hours, 2 p.m. and 5 p.m. during the K show, all from your home for the hookup, 98.7 ESPN. DPH, you'll have no say of when we give away these Islanders tickets, by the way.
Yeah, don't worry. I heard you. I heard you set a little shot. Last game they'll ever play at the Coliseum. No, we all hear it. Islander Nation hears it. We all know.
How is it a subtle shot? It's factual.
That's a shot.
It's factual.
Well, I mean, you took a shot at Big Blue Nation earlier. Yeah.
Oh, you went right after all Giants fans.
Just disgusting.
Wow, what's even better, though, is you. I mean, I asked you the question. You said that's the play, too, which made it perfect. Oh, that couldn't have been better.
Can you focus on the show instead of your little side job you have going on here?
No, I don't have a side job. I do
Photoshopping and the pasting enough and the Twitter. I mean, enough.
Your side job.
Yeah, I mean, seriously.
You asked for this. You said, oh, no, you're not active on Twitter. Why don't you change that?
Well, I didn't
picture?
Realize all of a sudden you'd turn into you know, a social media maven.
I got a very addictive personality.
I thought maybe there'd be a tweet. Like, Islanders, they fall down 4-0. Uh-oh, we're in trouble here. Not you know, look at what I'm able to do.
Do you want to go to war? Do you want to go to war? We'll take you to war, okay?
I got another
Dave Rothenberg hot take. This Islanders game is not fun to watch. Thoughts?
It was not fun.
The Knicks are great. I love watching this team.
Here we go. All right. You know, you'll miss me next week.
And welcome aboard.
That's fine. You'll miss me.
Oh, no,
week.
We got Gordon. Gordon's going to let loose. I mean, you should have heard some of the stuff he was saying on his Saturday show.
What was he saying?
Oh, very inappropriate stuff that came
really?
Across here.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
He might have a gambling problem, by the way.
Oh, but come on.
What, did you hear how much he put on the Nets to win the championship?
How much?
$20,000, he said.
No, I don't believe that.
I used to gamble a lot.
There is no way he put on. I don't even know him then.
That's what he said.
That's substantial.
If you had $20,000 on something, would it get you bananas? Like, would you
lose your composure? I would lose my mind. This is why I don't gamble, though, because it doesn't matter how much the money is. It could be $5.
I'll stop it. If you had
$50, I'm dead serious. It could be anything.
No,
I don't.
Not.
I'm telling you right now, it doesn't matter what it is.
So if you're at the blackjack table and you had $15 on a hand and you lost it because they pulled a 21, you would lose your composure then?
I would be mad, yeah.
Oh, come on.
I would be mad. Then I would double my bet. Then I would bet $30 and then I would chase it.
That's healthy.
Which is why you don't gamble.
Exactly. And if I lost that one, I would bet $60. This is the problem.
See, I had this great idea. And I put it into practice when I was in Vegas, and then somebody who's, a professional gambler, I think it was RJ Bell, he's like, you can't do that. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. But I thought it was a great idea. I wanted $100 spending money for the day. And I said, I'm going to sit down at the blackjack table. I'm going to bet $100 on my first hand. I win it, I'm done. And if I lose it, I'll bet $200. And if I lose that, I'll bet $400. And then $800, and then $16 and $32, assuming that at some point within six or seven bets, I'm going to win one. Right?
That didn't happen.
It did. First hand I won, I was done.
Nice.
Oh, okay, but so you didn't really put it into practice. All you said was, here's the $100. If I lose it, I lose it.
Well, no, but I put it into practice. I was armed with thousands of dollars, and I went to the table, and I bet $100. And if I would have lost it, I would have doubled and doubled and doubled until I eventually won. But I didn't need to with the first hand I won, and I was done. And now I had $100 to spend for the day. It was great.
That doesn't sound as much fun as actually sitting at the table and playing, though, does it?
Well, no. I'm saying just.
Well, if he kept playing, that would mean that he was still losing, Rico. So, I mean, I don't know. The way that Dave describes it, that scenario, I'd probably
take that.
Well,
no, but maybe. Okay, so maybe this is what you do, though. So you bet the 100. If I win the 100, now all of a sudden I will pull back my bet a little bit. So I'll bet the 25.
No, you're missing the point. I wanted spending money for the day.
There is no. The point is.
There's a breakfast buffet. There's things to do. There's Cirque du Soleil. I wanted to have some money for the day.
No, stop it. You didn't go to Vegas to get win $100 to have a breakfast buffet. Stop yourself. You probably slept at the tables. You didn't even go back to your room.
Oh, later on in the day, I gambled my face off. I got multiple hands. I got tables cleared out. I got people bringing me drinks. But in that moment, I just...
You let him go to Vegas, we definitely not going to see him.
I love the multiple hands, but I hate the guy that comes in and starts betting on your hands. That drives me crazy.
Going to Vegas for the buffet.
Yeah, that ain't the buffet that they...
Well, it kind of is the buffet, though, Rico.
That's
it kind of is the buffet.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That is a good point.
Guests on DCR appear via the Goodyear hotline. Islanders tickets for their final game in the barn. We will give those away in the next couple of minutes. Some big news out of the NFL. Carl Nassib, brother of former Giants quarterback Ryan Nassib, announces yesterday on Instagram that I thought it was great, to be honest with you. And I also love the support that he's received from multiple players like Saquon Barkley, J.J. Watt. So he comes out and he says he's gay, donates a lot of money to a cause that's near and dear to his heart, LGBTQ, and good for him. And I feel like we've been waiting for this day for a long time, and it's finally here.
Dave, what I thought was the most telling about it was that two of his teammates with the Raiders, two defensive linemen, Darius Steele and Solomon Thomas, took to social media to say how proud they were of Carl Nassib for coming out yesterday. And I think that's the part of this that's starting to change right now, and I think that's important to highlight, like the culture in NFL locker rooms and attitudes towards this particular issue are starting to change, because 15 years ago when I came into the NFL, I can tell you that this kind of announcement would not have been received in a positive way. It wouldn't have been.
Which is sad.
But the fact that we're here now in 2021, it just shows you that we have come a long way. And I know that we still have a long way to go, because this announcement is still news, and we'd like to get to a day and age where it's not. But the fact that you are talking about that change in NFL locker rooms right now, I think that's a really great sign. This generation of athlete, we can criticize them for a lot of different things, but I feel like they're pulling us in the right direction when it comes to this particular issue.
Yeah, I mean, we want to be all inclusive, don't we? I mean, just statistically, there has to be, during the course of your career, Chris, the course of my career, there had to be at least a couple of guys.
Well, we know that, Rico. We've seen guys, once they retire, come out and say, okay, this is my truth. But guys, you know, didn't feel like it was an environment, it was a safe space where they could live their truth while playing sports at the highest level. And I feel like that's starting to shift a little bit. And that's a great thing.
Yeah, I mean, if you're one of his teammates too, I mean, this is, you have to support him in what he's trying to do. And Dave, you mentioned the donation. I mean, $100,000 to the Trevor Pro. I mean, this is, it's amazing. And good for him.
Great. Yeah,
I couldn't imagine that. Like, you're living your dream. You're getting a chance to play in the NFL, which I'm sure since he was a little kid, that was what he wanted to do. But, you know, at the same time, the other half of my life, like my personal life outside of football, I have to keep quiet. I have to keep secret. Like, I can't really be myself.
You're living a lie is what you're doing.
Yeah, that's not fair to him. So, I mean, this is, as a teammate, I mean, for them to be supportive, it obviously, he's got to feel great about it. And then moving forward, I mean, this is only going to empower, you know, more men and women to live their own truths.
But Chris, you mentioned something, and I think you're right. You know, hopefully we get to the point where somebody comes out and says, you know, I'm gay, and it's like, oh, whatever. Who cares at this point? It's really not that big a deal. It is a big deal, and it is now, and this is really the first one. But I think hopefully at some point in the not-so-distant future, we will get there where it's like, all right, whatever. It really doesn't move the needle. It's not a big deal.
Yeah, I remember when Michael Sam made that announcement. It was,
oh my God,
it was a thing, and it just, you realized how big a moment it was. But Michael Sam really wasn't in the NFL, right, Dave? Like, he didn't play in NFL games, not regular season games. And so it was just one of those things, like, are you going to have an established player come out while they're in the heart of their career and make this type of announcement? And to see Carl Nassib be the first one to do it, it feels different. Like, this is somebody that you're going to watch on Sundays in the fall play at a high level. Like, I think that's what makes this particular situation a little bit different. And just to see the reception around the NFL and around the sports world, I just think it's incredibly encouraging, man. It feels like we're moving in the right direction when it comes to LGBTQ rights. And for this to be Pride Month, for him to make that announcement at this time, I just feel like that's like, it feels like it's the right time for something like this to happen.
Yep. So we're all in agreement, and I think most people are. All right, it's time now. This is it. You can see the Islanders in their last ever game at the Coliseum. Islanders fans, listen up. What'd you say?
Oh, keep it up. Keep doing it. Keep it up.
Oh, I'm going to do it.
Oh, yeah.
I'm gonna do it. The Isles are home against the Tampa Bay Lightning for Game 6, and 98.7 ESPN has your chance to be there. Be the first caller right now, 888-987-ESPN. You'll score two tickets to Wednesday's all-important Game 6, all brought to you by Coors Light, made to chill. Will you weep if the Islanders lose tomorrow night?
Like a baby. I may not show up to open the show on Thursday. I may not be able to do it. Emotionally, I may not be into it.
I'm sorry. You're contractually obligated to open the show on Thursday.
No, I'm not.
Oh, yes,
you are. It's not in my contract. No, no, no. It is not.
So you would be that immature that you wouldn't open the show, which you've now become accustomed to doing?
I think I'm emotionally broken.
No, I think at the end of the day, I would probably do it, but I would be...
Exactly.
I mean, it would be tough. It really would be. But I'm a professional. I would battle through it.
You absolutely would battle through it. You're a pro's pro. And
well, I mean, yeah, here's the thing, though. You could, yeah, you suggest it, and then I'll take the suggestion and then run it up the... it's kind of like our days off. You can suggest when you want off, and then they'll decide whether or not you're allowed to take those days off, which is great. Super. Love it.
You're very emotional.
I'm very emotional. It was a big loss last night. Now I got to worry about Barzell and what's going to happen with him.
When's that going to come down, by the way?
I would imagine. I mean, it's only 7:50 in the morning.
But that's going to be today, right?
Yeah, it'll be today.
You're really that nervous?
I don't think he's going to get suspended. No, I'm not that nervous.
You would be surprised if he got suspended, right?
Very surprised. Very surprised. Probably a fine. It's just a bad decision.
So.
Yeah, but it's just a bad decision. I mean, you heard Barry. It's disappointing. Like, we get it.
Well,
everyone's frustrated. Like, don't jeopardize your availability now. It's a stupid play.
Was a ridiculous play. All right, Chris, I know you were hot on this, and I understand why. The Supreme Court, which can agree on nothing, unanimously votes yesterday. Incremental increase in how college athletes can be compensated also now opens the door for future legal challenges that could deal a much more significant blow to the NCAA's current business model of where we are. So what does this mean overall for college athletes now? They can monetize their likeness and everything? Like, this is a big deal for college sports.
Yeah, I think it opens the door for name, image, and likeness opportunities for student athletes. But it also creates a place where you can get educator-related benefits. Like, you can get money for postgraduate internships. You can get money for educational instruments, like things of that nature. Like, there are some things that athletes just weren't afforded the opportunity to get because of the restrictions that come along with the scholarship, and now those opportunities will be there. So I just feel like this was the right thing to do. So now the NCAA has to revisit exactly what their amateurism model is and how to put money in the pockets of these athletes, because they're not getting their fair share. I mean, Justice Brett Kavanaugh talked about it. He said, like, listen, there's no other industry in America where something like this would be legal. And the fact that the NCAA hadn't quite figured out the way to make sure that it's fair across the board isn't the reason to keep them from moving forward and moving to a place where they're actually compensating these athletes for what they bring to the table to these universities. So as a whole, Dave, I think this is something that we all knew was coming. And the fact that the Supreme Court gave that ruling yesterday, it's a huge step in the right direction.
That's amazing. Dave, try to guess, because I'm sure Candy's already seen this, how much money the NCAA made in 2019.
Ooh, that's a big number.
Chris, you've seen it?
I've seen it. It's a big number, Dave.
All right.
I'll put it to you this way. It's more than the NFL makes in a given season.
Oh, my God. All right, I'm going to say... $5.8 billion.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
It's more?
It's more than the NFL makes in a given year.
Oh, all right. I'm going to say $11.6 billion.
Still way off.
$18 billion.
There you go.
Is that it?
That is it. There's poor people around.
$18
billion? And change, Dave. $18 billion and change.
Oh, my God.
That's big business. I mean, that's what it comes down to.
$18 billion a year?
Yeah.
It's big time money.
That's wild.
They're printing money in Indianapolis, Dave.
And
printing
they have the gall to not allow these athletes to profit a little bit off of it?
Yeah, but Dave, you know the arguments, right? Like, how do you maintain that fairness across all sports within a given athletic department, right? Like, are you going to pay the football players and the basketball players the same thing that you pay the swimmers and the lacrosse players? Like, all of those conversations come up, and the NCAA kind of, they kind of hide behind that guise of amateurism and the scholarship being the compensation for the athletes, when we know that they bring more to the table than the value of that scholarship. Like, the NCAA has done that forever. So now it's kind of being spotlighted. Like, look, everybody that's involved with this is getting paid except for the individuals that happen to be the product. And something about that has to change.
Yeah, it says the total athletics revenue reported among all NCAA athletics departments in 2019 was $18.9 billion.
Oh, my. That's a $19 billion.
Yeah.
We're not even there. God.
That's crazy.
That's so much money.
But what's it now, at this point, I mean, we've been talking about this for how long with college football? Like, I mean, what the hell does the NCAA do with college football? I mean, it's the Power Fives that run it. What good is the NCAA now?
Oh, they've almost been completely neutered. They have almost zero power anymore.
I mean, what exactly do they do? Besides make ridiculous rules like you can serve the students bagels, but you can't give them cream cheese. Oh, okay.
Right. And the students can't work, can't make extra money.
See, here's the thing, Rick. I do think there's a role for the NCAA. They're not going to have nearly as much power, but I do think there's a need to try to maintain some degree of competitive balance.
Yeah, but they don't do that, though. They're an embarrass. All they do is embarrass themselves.
Why can't you have cream cheese?
I have no idea.
Stupid. That's stupid.
Multiple like cream cheeses?
I don't get it, which I'm sure Kay would love because he doesn't use the...
He's not a condiments guy.
No, he's not the lubrication guy, but... Like, even, I just got a text message from Dina, and he makes a good point. It's like, you make that much money, and we got to see pictures of the women's tournament having a gym that's like a couple towels and some dumbbells?
It's pathetic.
I mean, seriously. It was an embarrassment.
It is an embarrassment, because they don't care. They do whatever
we'll fix
they
it.
Want.
Like, oops, sorry, this isn't good enough, we'll fix it. So tell me who put that gym together and was like, this is
a great idea. This you got is everything you need here.
This is state of the art. We got a couple mats. Some dumbbells, towels in case you get a little sweaty.
That's right.
They're gonna love this.
There's even a little jug of water there that you can sip on.
it's unbelievable.
The NCAA. And you know what? 30 years ago, you wouldn't even know about this stuff. Social media is what lets us learn about a lot of this stuff. It was an athlete, right? A female athlete who put that out there.
Yeah, but I think it just highlights the hypocrisy of the NCAA because, in theory, they're supposed to be put there to protect the athletes. And really, they're just exploiting the athletes for monetary gain. And I think that's what everybody's seeing. Like, when you have coaches that are making tens of millions of dollars a year and yet the athletes can't get anything, I mean, nothing, Dave. Like, there's something really wrong with that.
You see how much coaches' salaries have gone up in the last 20 years? They've gone up like 50%, I think, in salaries. Like all coaches around all the different sports.
Yeah, but they go up. I mean, they go up as the money that the...
And there's a lot, like we just said, $19 billion. All right, Santa, you have this was an action-packed show today. You have a lot to choose from. It is now your time to shine.
Today's three stars of DCR.
Well, first things first, today's three stars of the day is brought to you by 7-Eleven. With that,
number three.
This is for you guys because you're always complaining that I don't celebrate the positive enough around here. Jacob DeGrom, just how great is that guy? In my opinion, the best athlete in New York, the most dominant, the most important. The only thing that can derail that guy from greatness is just injury, which you hope doesn't happen. I hope the Mets kind of protect him from himself sometimes.
Speaking of dominant, Dave, did you see what Al Leiter's son did yesterday?
Yeah, and he lost the game, too.
Yeah, 1-0. I mean, his team didn't
You see how
favors.
Many pitches they let him throw?
123 pitches.
Because they know he's not going to be there for long. They don't have to worry about the future of one Jack Leiter.
That boy also good.
Number two.
Dave's paranoia for giving us the whole accusation of RJ throwing a party that we didn't know about and then just led us to great cuts like this.
I saw many mustachioed men at the, quote, bridal shower. You were there with many men with facial hair. Were there men there?
And, of course, the big finish.
Just when we were about to tag team on Rick Dave.
Very, very enjoyable segment.
Number one.
Didn't even know about the big bridal shower. Didn't even know. Wasn't even aware.
Well, I'm sure you'll know all the details going forward of the RJ Santillo wedding as it happens. We'll go back to where we began. The war of karma and Twitter and avatars. You predicted a storm would be coming and you're reveling in this... Islanders getting blown out yesterday. Like, you're surprised at
reveling.
Rick's retaliation.
Yeah, Darren. That he's
reveling.
I'm reveling.
Just be careful what you wish for, Dave. That's karma could come back around your way as well.
Darren, wow. Reveling.
Are you going to read the out?
Oh, yeah, we do have to read the out.
Yeah.
Three stars brought to you by 7-Eleven. At 7-Eleven, get a $1 any size iced coffee with 7 rewards. 7-Eleven, take it to 11.
Rule 76.
No excuses. Play like a champion. It's DiPietro, Canty, Rothenberg, and...
Hey, everybody.
Go Lightning. ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.